You are in our prayers and our thoughts. And like I put on my Facebook page, it's always great to come along to Siloam, to meet you, to see you all, to hear what you're getting up to. Such a church full of activity, full of life. And that's great to be amongst. As Terry was saying to me this morning, if only I could be on fire like them. Because we've been through much over the last probably 5 years. But to see you all, it's great. I think we probably get more of a blessing than perhaps you're receiving. So thank you for inviting us here. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd like to turn to Exodus 17, we're continuing this walk, going places with God. This is the last one in this particular session, going places with God. And it's Exodus 17, verses 8 to 16. This evening's about fighting. So it's Exodus 17, verses 8 to 16. Going places with him who loves us. Exodus 17, verses 8 to 16. This is what it says in the Lord's word. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with my staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses and Aaron Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it. Because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we ask that you would speak to us. That, dear Lord, that you would explain your work to us. You would encourage us, rebuke us, convict us, uplift us, imbue us with your spirit, dear Lord. If our hearts have grown cold and stony hard to your word, we ask once again that you would make them hearts of flesh, that they would beat once again, dear Lord, with your heartbeat. If our blood is not on fire for you, set us alight, dear Lord, with your spirit. Come into us, Holy Spirit, and change us, and enable us to have your fire, so your word, rather than bring death into our lives, will bring life, so that we would understand and be lifted up, dear Lord, by the word that is proclaimed because of you. Open our ears, our eyes, our hearts, our souls, dear Lord, to hear this evening, so that we might be transformed, we might be changed as a people. So the word of God would be alive in us. We would no longer be strangers to you, but have intimate fellowship with a God who created us, who formed us, and who loves us. We ask all these things in Christ Jesus, who died for us. And God's people said, amen. We've been walking with God over these sessions that I've been with you. And tonight it's about warfare. And as Christians, we should expect to be in warfare, conflict and strife. I think many people would say, well, I went to church and I was hoping my life would quieten down. But very rarely does that happen to us. Christ came and he said he would bring this type of conflict within our lives, that family members would be against one another. For as you are transformed, then the world doesn't know what to make of you. It cannot understand, why are you different? At one time you swore, now you don't. At one time you lost your temper, now you don't. At one time you would watch these things, and now you don't. They don't understand, and that brings conflicts and issues into people's lives. There's something different about you. Why is it you can withstand those things that bring other people's to their knees in anguish, but to you it brings you to your knees in prayer or praise to our God? Now, we're taught that our God is love, and He is love. But seldom we're taught that as Christians, we are soldiers of Christ, and our primary mission is to worship our Lord, but also to be warriors for a warrior God. How many of you men go out and fight within your communities for the souls that which should be in this place or should be brought to know the Lord Jesus Christ? As men, we like to do the great things, don't we? We like to be the warrior. Just have to watch currently the movies that are on in our cinemas, like The Avengers and The Mighty Thor, Iron Man. These are the fantasies that we have as men, that we wish to be in action in the world, saving other people. Christ has come into your lives, men. You are warriors of God, and you are to take your neighborhoods by storm, for you have the words of God. You have His countenance and power upon you. You are to bring them to a place which is worthy of them, which has the women of God inside of it, so they can uplift and build and make strong, so they two who come to this place can go out once they're fit and well and bring others into the place of God where the people of God meet, so God can be in people's lives. We are in conflict. This warfare has been going on for centuries, and we even see it depicted here in Exodus. God's people are on their way to a promised land, and the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go and fight the Amalekites." We as Christian people should be active in warfare. It's not the sort of warfare where the world is involved, like those films I described where people are in physical conflict, but rather it's breaking down of the strongholds of the people's minds, for people have been told they're not worthy. Well, our Christ died on a cross to say you are worthy. People have been told they never amount to something. Well, if a God is prepared to die for you, then you are and have amounted to something if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. You are important to the creation of the universe, and as I've told you before, you are beautiful and wonderful to behold, for you are God's creation, and God never creates ugliness. Rather, He creates beauty and things that are of worth and things that are important and are useful. Don't listen to what the world would say to you. Rather, listen to what God would say to you. We read in Corinthians chapter 10 this: "By the meekness and gentleness of Christ I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when I am away, I beg that when I come I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of the world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to diminish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we are ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete." This is Paul writing to another church in Corinthians chapter 10. He appeals to them. He's trying to get them to realize that we are in a war, but we're breaking the strongholds down within people's minds. The fact that the walls that they have built up because the world has forced them to believe these terrible things about themselves which aren't true and don't matter to a God who loves them, who wishes to transform them and make them as a new creation. But as Christians, we are afraid. Conflict frightens us. Yet to us as Christians, it should be our second nature. We shouldn't be at conflict with each other, with amongst our fellowship or other churches, but rather with the world out there to bring down those strongholds in people's lives so they can see their worth, they can see that they matter, that they can see that they are loved by a God who desires them, that desires to have a relationship with them and desires them to be amongst his people. We are to be in conflict, but not like the conflict of the Amalekites. Amalek was the grandson of Esau, the patriarch Jacob's twin brother. He was the son of Esau and his concubine Timnah. The Amalekites were distinguished in the Holy Scripture because they had two terrible characteristics. They were cruel and they were cowards. This is because they attacked God's people. But they didn't attack the main body. They didn't attack the healthy men. Rather, they chose to attack those who couldn't protect themselves. Women and children who straggled behind. The weak and the powerless. This is why God was so angry with them. This is why God wanted to remove them and blot them out. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites." Moses, knowing that those whom he led were not real warriors, he knew at this time that they had not defined themselves and who and what they were, that they were weak and could be so easily destroyed. And they knew that God had to help them. God had to encourage them. And Moses stood as their leader and lifted his arms up to God so that those people would receive the power, so that they would be able to defeat an enemy who would destroy those who were weak, destroy those who were defenseless. And this can happen to us within the church. Those who come to faith. Those who are just beginning to take their first toddling steps with the Lord. And you men, you women, you are here to protect them. You are here to battle on their behalf. You are there to encourage them and let them know that there is a God who loves them. And because of that, there is a people who cares for them. And because God loves them, you are able to love them too. With Christ, everything changes in our world. For you are the most important person to him in the world. There's nothing that you can do to stop him loving you. There's nothing you can do to make him turn his back on you. Right up to the point of your death. There's nothing that you can do, and he always holds his hands out to you, waiting to grasp you and rescue you. God loves you. He knows you, and he knows the contribution that you can bring. Only you can bring that contribution. No one else can. Because of this, because that you are supposed to respond to his love, then you can change everything around you and yourself and your circumstances. For God will give you power and grace in your life. You can become effective. For God, you see, battles for your mind, for your thoughts, for your understandings, the way you act, the way you feel and behave. the person that you once were, that probably the person that you don't like and don't want to be involved with anymore, can disappear. And Christ can step in and change you and make you a child of God. This means that you can change the way that you treat others. This means you can get involved in the warfare. As I said to you men, are you going into the byways and the roads of this area? And are you taking captive those souls? And are you bringing them before a God? You ladies, are you then prepared to bandage those souls, pour oil upon their wounds? Are you enabling them then, in safety and security, in a place of rest, that you're enabling them to discover a God who loves them? And rather than receive every negative word in the world, they're receiving the positive word that you can bring them to say that there's a God who loves them, for he loved me. And if he can change me, he can change you. Our God comes and provides a power to demolish the strongholds of the mind. We are able to demolish the arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We've allowed this country to take away God from people's lives. And it's about time we started to take our territory back for him who loves us, who has given you great capability and power if you choose to grasp it and walk forward with it and hold high the banner of God. For you see, with God's power, are capable of destroying strongholds within people's lives that no one else can, for you can bring Christ. You're able to banish every thought that would destroy someone if you believe and know that Christ is with you and within you. I'm sure many of you heard about generational curses. And it seems that some things that happen within families that seem to go on through family after family, and they cannot seem to escape it. It could be abuse. It could be the way people talk. It could be anger. It could be drunkenness or whatever. When we come to God, then that generational curse is broken. For you see, God doesn't have grandchildren. He doesn't have great-grandchildren. He just has children. If you know God, then you know that you are free from the curse, for you are a new creation. You are someone brand new. If you're someone brand new, then what's gone before has been erased and wiped away, and you have the opportunity with a blank piece of paper, a blank life in front of you, to rewrite who and what you are in Christ and with Christ. If you feel an addiction in your life, it could be for power, it could be sex, pornography, drugs, bad behavior, or anything really that comes into your life that gives you a greater desire for that than Christ. Christ can come in and set you free from this, from those desires that would destroy you and those around you. For he came to give freedom. Don't make his sacrifice invalid upon that cross. For he came to take your punishment and provide you with a life which is free from these things. For Christ came to give you freedom. If you know Christ, then you are free indeed. This is in the battle that we're involved with. These are the battles that we can break into the world with. That God would give us power to change the lives of those around us and ourselves. For we can demolish every argument, every bet that they would like to bring forward. We are to overcome, for our God has already overcome. In Christ we are strong. And we should seek to protect those who are weaker and who do not know our God or don't know him very well. We can do battle for those who are around us on their behalves. And we can banish those things in the world that would destroy them, for we can bring them to a God who says, I love you. And I love you this much. and I'm prepared and I have already died for you and I forgive you. We as God's people cannot afford to fall asleep like many churches have. We cannot sit back and just look and watch for the times. We have to be active and involved. For wasn't Christ active and involved in this world while he was here? There wasn't a moment that he was not involved in the world. He had times of rest and recuperation. But as soon as he went through that time, he was back out involved in people's lives, pouring himself out for others. We are to be in conflict in the world and not amongst ourselves. For we are a family of God. And Christ wishes to give us a good report to his Father if we are to receive the blessings of God. If you have conflicts amongst you, put them to one side. If you are in conflict with each other, then destroy those conflicts. For if you go sort them out here, you have to sort them out in front of a God who will look into your soul and say, I wanted to do this with you, but could not because of the problems that you self-generated for yourself. Didn't I bring you freedom from all these things? We are here to guard and guide each other, for haven't we received protection and guidance from our God? We're here to help and support one another, for hasn't God supported and lifted you up? We are here to fight for each other and bring others to God so that we may grow the army of Christ and take back this land with God. For if you don't care, then how can God care? If you're not involved, then how can God get involved? For are you not his children? Beloved, how often do you fight for your neighbor? How often do you fight for each other in this place? How often do you apply the power of God which he has given you into your lives? Are your attitudes and thoughts always changing and coming closer to Christ? Or are you the same that you've always have been? Stuck in the mud, unable to move, and afraid to do what Christ is asking you to do. Tonight, why not change who and what you are? Make a stand for God. Why not lift your arms up and not let them get weary and say, Lord, come into our lives, change our land. We can no longer bear it for what it is. To see children and youngsters go to hell, to see adults and old people go to hell. Rather, we wish to see heaven full of people who love you. For you are a God who died for us and wishes to pour out his life into our lives so that we might be transformed. And when our God looks upon us, rather than have tears of anguish in his eyes, he has tears of joy. Because of the people that we've become and the people that God has allowed us to become. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for all those who are gathered here tonight, that if they need a special touch from you, whether it's due to the fact that, dear Lord, they need freedom, that you would enable them to be free. That if perhaps they feel that they have no power, that they would know they have the power of Christ in their life so that they might overcome. Perhaps they have some form of addiction or thoughts which they can no longer be free from, come into their lives and change them, enable them to be free from that which would drag them away from you, dear Lord. That they have no peace or rest, that they would receive that peace, dear Lord. If they need healing, enable them to feel the healing. For you are a God who supplies all our needs. Help us not to be afraid to come and ask you, dear Lord. Let us not feel that we are failures, but rather recognize, dear Lord, that you are here for us. You love us. You want us. You desire us with a much greater passion than we have for you. Help us to have the same passion, dear Lord, for you. That we are prepared to overcome anything in our lives so that we might grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Spend a few moments with him in the quietness now so that he might touch you, that he might have an effect on you, that he would answer your prayer. We praise you and bless you, dear Lord, for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. Go with us this evening, dear Lord, and help us to be the warrior. Help us to be your handmaiden. Help us, dear Lord, to bandage those who are in pain and suffering. And help us to be able to forgive ourselves as you have forgiven us, dear Lord, so that we might forgive all those around us. Amen.